Wednesday, September 24th. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. It's a great pleasure to have you here today. As always, we are brought to you by my man Ike of Ike Sandwiches. Absolutely something delicious waiting for you at Ike's. And if you don't live around an Ike's, I'm terribly sorry. Hopefully life changes that for you. His growing business, your growing belly will hopefully both meet on one day, and you will be very, very happy when that day comes. Make sure you sign up for the Love Rewards program. You start earning your way towards free sandwiches, free drinks, and all that good stuff when you sign up for the Love Rewards program. I want to invite everybody, and I would invite my next guest to join us, but she's only going to be here this weekend. The Dubliner, October 4th, Saturday, 4:20, time everyone can easily remember. We're getting together at the Dubliner West Portal, and we're going to have ourselves a little Plus Mania meetup. It's always a good time when it goes down. My man Jude's going to be spinning wax only, no CDs, no digital recording. No, wax, baby. We're bringing a coffin, some turntables. It's going to be an awful lot of fun, Dubliner West Portal. I hope you can join a whole bunch of our good friends there when that happens. And hey, we also want to thank Sleeper for being an incredible sponsor of this season of Damon Bruce Plus and our NFL coverage. That is a great place to make your NFL plays over on Sleeper, America's fastest growing fantasy app, a great user interface. You can make your parlays. You can do your in-game betting. It is really cool. Check it out and use the promo code Damon in the link of the description of this video when you go ahead and you sign up. So many moons ago, when I was on the radio, I had an intern named Kendra. Kendra Middleton was easy to work with. She was a phenomenal person to be around, great energy. And when she saw her host choking in the middle of an interview, she didn't find a water. She handed me hers. This was spa water, which I had never consumed in my life. It was the mind expanding meme. Not only have I discovered a new water, I discovered a new radio talent all in once. And needless to say, Kendra has used that talent to become part of the dominating morning show on 98.5 Sports Hub in Boston. Her career as a sports broadcaster is flourishing, but she's not here to talk about Boston. You can take a girl out of Duval, but you can't take the Duval out of the girl. She is the only Jacksonville Jaguars fan I think I've ever met in my life. And she is a straight up insider. And since it's 49ers and Jaguars, whenever it is 49ers and Jaguars, I bring in Kendra Middleton, one of the single greatest radio interns ever and a kick-ass talk show host herself. How are you, Kendra?
I am so good. It's so good to be back with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're coming into San Francisco this weekend. You're going to be at Levi's Stadium. Are you going as a fan or are you in the press box?
I'm going as a fan, actually.
Good.
Yeah. Me and the friends are going to show up. We haven't gotten tickets yet. Do you have any suggestions of places to buy tickets? Because I know here there's still like the old school traditional, you know, ticket boxes and sales guys that sell them for a little cheaper, like that whole vibe, or is it still the mobile crap?
Yeah, no. In Boston, they still got a guy named Sully in an alley willing to do a deal. Out here, it's skin you alive for every penny you have, and we'll use the internet to do it. I got no connections for you.
Okay, amazing. Tick pick it is.
Hey, I'm the reindeer they threw out of the reindeer games. I'm sorry, Kendra. I can't quite help you out there, but I'm not worried. I'm sure you will work your way in. You got contacts. You got savvy. And you got a team to watch here. I don't think anything's going to keep you away from watching. Dare I say, one of the five kind of interesting seasons that could turn out well for the Jaguars you've even had in your entire life. They're 2-1. They got a new coach. They got a young quarterback who, despite his salary, is still figuring it all out. And I wouldn't give up on him, even though some people talk like they should. You got this two-way phenom in Travis Hunter. You got a defense that's forcing turnovers. Kendra, is this a Jacksonville team that, dare you say, is actually on the right track?
I hate to say it, but I'm going to go with no.
No!
I don't think the offense has an identity. I hate to say it, but you can't continue to lead the league in drops. And we have faith in you. And that's exactly what's going on here. I hate to say this too, but I did not verbally online love the Travis Hunter pick. I didn't. They gave up way too much. They needed to beef up the offensive line. Trevor Lawrence, when he has time to throw, statistically is one of, if not the best passers in the NFL. And just they fumbled that back for him. Again, I wanted them to trade back, maybe take Armon Membu. I thought he was the best offensive line.
I had a man crush on Armon Membu. Oh. I was screaming, Membu, trade up, trade the farm, go get him, 49ers.
Mm-hmm. Membu was the guy. And I think that in this league, it's no surprise that he's, you know, despite which side of the ball he's on, probably struggling a little too much. You got to pick a side in this league. This is the big boys. This is no longer college football. I don't care what kind of quote unquote generational talent tag you want to throw on this guy. The Jaguars sold us that with, you know, Trevor Lawrence. And do I think that Trevor Lawrence still has an opportunity to be a great quarterback? Yes, but when your receivers continuously lead the league in drops, season in and season out, your opportunity to become this phenom that people thought you were going to be, you know, diminishes. And his confidence, I don't blame him. Big issue.
You watch more Jaguars football than I ever have. Is the problem in the sender or in the receiver when it comes to all these drop passes? Does Lawrence put it in the, you know, the passing window, the 3-yard box around the head? Is he on target and it's just a case of frying pan hands in your wide receiver room? Or does Lawrence need to be more accurate with his ball placement?
You know, here's the thing. I love to call people who don't watch the Jacksonville Jaguars box score mouth breathers. And trust me, don't get me wrong. I do not blame you for not wanting to watch Jacksonville Jaguar football. But when you watch Jacksonville Jaguar football, I really... In, you know, time, season after season, it's easy to put the blame on Trevor. But when you watch these games, he's hitting people in the hands. He's hitting people. And do I think that some of his balls obviously are not the best placed? Yes. But in this season in particular, I would say outside of probably his sophomore season, this season in particular is so bad. This is not a Trevor issue. And if they don't get a hold on it and get a hold on it quickly, his confidence is going to go, you know, down the crapper real quick. And we can't have that happen. My concern for this Jacksonville Jaguars team, yes, it's the offense. I think that this defense and special teams has been pretty lights out, but it's their schedule. Their schedule from here gets really crazy. They end their season a little bit easier, especially if they get some favors, you know, if the Colts turn back into a pumpkin and the Broncos kind of continue this little bit of a journey that they're on. But they got lucky in the Bengals game that Joe Burrow wasn't playing. It could have been a lot worse than it was. And yes, they lost that game. Jake Browning, for some reason, has been their kryptonite every time they've played him. But you get a 49ers team this weekend, which, as you know, despite the injuries and everything that you guys have going on, they show up week in and week out no matter what. You play the Chiefs at home, Monday Night Football. Home against the Seahawks, you get the Rams. The Raiders, I think, are a lot better than people think they are. And then you've got a Texans game on the road in Houston with a team that's going to be pissed off and wants to beat the absolute bag out of you. You get the Chargers after that. It gets a little easier from there, but they might be lucky to win three of these games that they've got coming up. It's the schedule for me.
So you're getting into the meat of the schedule. Again, I think the saving grace for the Niners, in spite of their injuries, is their schedule. And look, you know, when you see Jacksonville on your schedule, whether it be a home game or away game, I think, you know, as you play your W's and L's, a lot of people just put a W there. There are some people, though, picking Jacksonville. And I would just say with the Bosa trauma, and it really isn't just an injury here, Kendra, it's trauma. It's like mental trauma to just 49er fans. And I think it means a lot to the room, too. You know, the team can brave face this and next man up it all they want. There is no next man for that guy's shoes. There really isn't. So maybe, just maybe, Jacksonville is coming in here with a little bounce in their step, and the 49ers have been lulled into sort of like a just things are going wrong again. I don't know how this one's going to play out. You know, we'll see whether it's Purdy or Mac Jones. How do you feel about watching Mac Jones in a game? You got to know him for a little bit down in Jacksonville. I'll tell you, unimpressive since leaving New England. Right up until the last 2 weeks, dare I say, Mac Jones has even looked really good for the 49ers.
I have the hottest take you're going to hear all week, and I'd like to preface this with the fact that I am the president of the Mac Jones Hater Club.
Okay.
We're both from Jacksonville, Florida. He went to the high school where all the fancy rich kids who are good at sports go. They go there. They kick everybody's ass. You know, they've got all – they're driving Maseratis for their first car. That's the kind of high school Mac Jones went to. Whereas me, you know, I have humble beginnings. That was not my Jacksonville public school. And then I go to Auburn, Matt goes to Alabama, kicks our ass time and time again. We won one of the games while I was there as a student. And then I move up to Boston. He gets drafted by the Patriots. And now he's in the only city that I've ever lived in outside of those three, right? And I feel like he is just haunting me. But my hot take is, I actually think that I like the 49ers better this week if it's Mac Jones and not Brock Purdy. Is that crazy to say? Just because he's healthy, he's wheeling and dealing, and he's got that extra step of it's his hometown team that let me go. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show it to him.
Well, I wonder how much institutional knowledge is still there. Like the carryover with it being a new coach from when he was there. I wonder, like, you know, whenever a team cuts a player, then another team that is playing that week next picks up that player and just interrogates them to try to learn as much. I wonder what Mac Jones, obviously there's that personal screw those guys connection that he might have, like you're saying, but I wonder how much is even remains about the Jaguars from when he was there, when they were maybe at their most chaotic under Balke. And, you know, that was that after Urban?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was there for Urban.
Urban is just such a fork in the road moment for that.
I do have a crazy stat for you if you want it, though.
Please.
So, actually, Mac Jones threw more touchdown passes to Brian Thomas Jr. last year than Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
So, most of his rookie success was actually under Mac Jones and not Trevor.
How about that? All right. So I wonder if there's a little something there. We'll see what happens. We'll see how practice goes this week. I know Mac finished last game in a brace. Purdy, after being told you got the week off, he was out there practicing. I think he sees Mac a little bit in his rearview mirror in a healthy way, in a good way. We'll see what this looks like come Sunday. Kendra Middleton is here. She's actually in Boston, but she's going to be out here because she's from Jacksonville. Everyone just do the Rubik's Cube. You'll figure it out. I want to talk about Travis Hunter. Mm. As you said earlier, there's only one Shohei Ohtani, right? It's hard to do multiple things in sports with such specialization. I think it's hard to be a coach and a GM at the same time. To be a
coach wide and a play receiver, caller. Yeah.
Yeah. To be a wide receiver and a corner. I mean, this guy's homework has to be the biggest stack in the library.
New dad too.
Huh?
New dad too.
New dad.
Brand
too.
New dad.
New dad too. Suspect fiance. Is she what's the story on her?
I'm the biggest girl's girl out there, but she's a little sus. I don't know. No prenup. Crazy. And I know she was pregnant, but no prenup is still nuts if you ask me. Yeah, I'm not even a big baller like that. And if I ever, for some reason, am crazy enough to get married, even if I don't have anything, that man's signing some paperwork.
You're prenupping? So you get to keep the microphone and the Jag season ticket?
The dog is mine.
Jillian wanted a prenup, and I said, as long as I get the PlayStation 5, what the hell do I need?
Pets are mine. The pets are all mine. Everything else, whatever.
Travis Hunter has gone 10% defensive snaps week one, 60% in week two, 68% in week three. Are they going to put even more on his plate here in week four? Is this guy mislabeled a wide receiver? He's playing more corner than wide receiver. He's got 10 catches, 76 yards, no touchdowns. They say he's their wide receiver. I say he's their corner.
I agree. I said this at the beginning of the draft. I don't think that there, even before he was a Jacksonville Jaguar, there's just no such thing as a two-way player in the NFL. Sure, you can have some packages for a guy. They said last week that his snap count on defense was going to go up, and they expected Parker Washington to kind of make up for some of the snaps on offense that he would be missing now. I just think that from the start, it was so evident that his ceiling at corner was a lot higher than it was at receiver. And clearly this defense has been like the saving grace of the Jacksonville Jaguars so far this season. But when you're contributing to the drop rate, they need you on defense. Corner was the biggest concern for them going into the season on defense. It makes so much more sense to me to limit his reps on offense. Sure, still have those packages for him. He's still clearly a crazy athlete. But with all the drop issues that they're having across the board and them really needing him more more at corner than at receiver because it seems to be such a consistent issue, which, like you said, could easily, for some people who are just casually consuming this, seems like just the Trevor problem over and over again. But it's everybody. It doesn't matter where they're getting hit, who it is. They're dropping balls, and they need to be able to throw their defense out there, trust their defense to get a stop at times. And you guys have – the 49ers just have crazy weapons. They need him on defense this week, and the only way that they are going to beat the 49ers is if they play complementary football and the offense figures it out in a week.
It's funny. You got a group of wide receivers who can't catch a ball, and you got a group of corners who don't drop many. 7 interceptions leads the NFL. That's what Jacksonville's coming in with. I'll tell you, the two players that worry me the most on this team are Josh Hines-Allen and Trevon Walker. These guys are pocket-crashing defensive ends. I think they're going to test the 49ers offensive line. And Eric Armstead coming back
out of nowhere.
On-field reunion. Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Josh Hines-Allen, man, the resurrection that he had, people, you know, love to talk about contracts in the NFL, but he knew that he was on the line for a new contract, went out there, worked his ass off, got that contract after a career year, had a little bit of a fall off last year. I think that there was, if you have been following him, he's had some real struggles in his personal life. And I think that that was probably a little bit of a distraction last year. But now that his kid has beat cancer, good for him. Oof. Shout out the Jacksonville hospitals. He's out there with a vengeance, man. He's out there tearing it up. I'm so proud of him. I honestly think I'm going to probably buy his jersey at the end of this season. I really want the Prowler. But yeah, Trevon Walker also making a big jump. You know, it's hard to sit here. I went to the draft out in Vegas when they took him, and I stood on, there is a video that my friends have of me standing on a table at the Jaguars draft party crying because I wanted Aiden Hutchinson. And still so true. Look at him on Monday Night Football this week. Actually, me sobbing after, you know, a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Trent Baalke had other ideas. Kendra, Trent yep. had other ideas.
Oh, you know Trent just like everybody else does out in that area. Man, he sucks. But I was crying over us not taking Aiden Hutchinson because that felt like the real deal. That felt like the right pick. And for some reason, they went with Trevon Walker. He's had a bit of a jump this year. Hope he can keep climbing because he hasn't lived up to a first-round pick, in my opinion, especially obviously when Aiden was sitting right there. But I'm happy to see him make a little bit of a jump this year. The defense is contributing. It's time for the offense to start making a difference.
It's probably unfair through 3 weeks to give a first-year coach a letter grade, but what are your early impressions of Liam Cohen? What do you like? What are you worried about?
I like and hate at the same time how he speaks with the media. I think that he's just so casual, and at times some of the things he said, I'm like, is that really, you know, what we want to throw out there? But I love him. I love that he see the way that he talked. I know that you're probably not, I'm not going to throw this shade at you. I don't know how up to date you are on your meme culture, but there is a meme of SpongeBob stacked on top of each other where it's like little nerdy SpongeBob and then SpongeBob that's like ripping his shirt off.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Somebody tweeted today that little nerd SpongeBob is Liam Cohen talking to the media, and then SpongeBob ripping his shirt off is how he speaks in the locker room, because I'm not sure if you've seen the videos of him the last couple of weeks in the locker room F-wording this and F-wording that, and this is how we play ball, and then he speaks to the media with his little polo shirt on and he's all buttoned up. I think that that's the perfect representation of him, right? He seems to be that player's coach, and as long as they got Trevor, the offensive coach, who's the young guy, I like to call them the tight, like khaki pants head coach, because, you know, it's the Sean McVays, that's the Mike McDaniels of the world, that's the Kyle Shanahans of the world, the guys who are out there in the tight pants that don't seem like these big offensive locker room guys, but they are. And as long as Trevor is rallying behind that and they can for some reason get the offense on top, that's fine with me. I'm happy about it. After week one, his odds for coach of the year actually like skyrocketed, and that Bengals game shot them back down to reality, and then last week they're all over the board. But hey, I think that he was the right guy for the job. There was a lot of drama that happened with that deal, but I put this on record, I would have preferred Ben Johnson. I don't know how that hire happened, just because he is the definition of every single play is on the script by the book. And Caleb Williams is a guy who's an off-script quarterback. That's just who he is. And I think that Trevor really would have thrived with someone like that. I'm not sure that that job made the most sense for him because of that. I still think that Ben Johnson's going to be fine. I think Caleb Williams still has a shot to be good. But I would have maybe preferred that option, but I am not upset by this in the slightest. I think as long as they got him an offensive minded guy, and I love Gladstone. People in Jacksonville call him Gladstones, and I love him.
You can't be successful in the league. And, you know, there's always varying degrees of success. You know, for some it's Super Bowl, you know, your first or last. It's Ricky Bobby out there. I think for the Jaguars, finding, you know, stacking winning season on top of winning season, stacking playoff appearances on top of playoff appearances, being regarded as a contender is what everyone is shooting at. And if you can be that more often than not, you're a good NFL franchise. To be a good NFL franchise, you've got to have the owner, the coach, and the quarterback. We know that those are the three pillars of success, right? Have you got the three right guys? Have you got the right owner, the right coach, the right quarterback? We know who gets switched out first. It's always the coach. Trevor's making $50 million. Feels like he'd be next. I don't think anyone's going to come in and take the team from, you know, Mr. Khan. So it's his. So he's not going anywhere. Is he the reason why this team might not ever get it together? As you look at the hierarchy of the Jaguars, do you like what you see at all?
You nailed it. I'm not a Shad Khan girl whatsoever. Never have been. Have been very vocal about it. I think that he's got way too much on his plate. I think his son is way too involved. Now they've got this, what is it? Not the WWE, but some other something that his kid's involved in. I feel like they're distracted owners. They don't make the right decisions. They're not involved in the NFL. They're not involved in football. When they originally came in, I really liked them. They built up the city. They did a lot of charity work. But now you're having your taxpayers pay half of the cost for a new stadium for a team that has sucked for, you know, the better part of 30 years. And I don't think that that's the most fair thing in the world. But obviously it keeps jobs in Jacksonville. I don't want to see the team go anywhere. I love that it keeps jobs in Jacksonville. That's not my MO here. But you've made a lot of bad hires. I stopped believing in him when he hired Urban Meyer. That was when Shad lost me. Not only was that bad for the team, it was bad for I think that my message on the internet at the time was, what does this say to the women of Jacksonville, to the players of Jacksonville, to their wives, their daughters, their, you know, all of these people involved in this organization in this city at the time? That was when I lost faith in him. He hasn't reeled me back in. I like that they're upgrading the stadium, but I just don't think he's involved enough in football. Last year, before the season, he's on record saying that this is the best roster that he's ever had and that they've ever put together. And you go out there and lay that egg the way that you do. I don't think that you're watching the game. I don't think that you're watching football. I'm hoping that because they got younger in the front office and the coaching and the entire organization this year, it helps. I'm just not sure that he is, you know, the guy to put the Jaguars over the edge. I don't think he's the most dedicated owner in the world. And that is kind of my issue with Shad.
If the Jaguars do build a new stadium, are they going to put another like big pool in one of the end zones? And how much urine do you think is in that pool by the fourth quarter?
They have put out the blueprints for it. They're between playing in Daytona and Orlando while they build it. It's already been approved by the city, the taxpayers, everything like that. Things good to go. That construction is going to start after this year, I believe, but they just don't know where they're going to play in the interim. I actually was in that pool last year. I did a belly flop into it after the Colts game, and you can go find that video on the internet if you would like to see that.
You feel good about it? You feel good about it?
It's the amount of chlorine that stung my eyes for probably 2 days after. I would say that it's good to go. I'm shocked my hair didn't turn green.
There you go. Okay, good. Yeah, I have a platinum blonde cousin. One day in the pool, it is green. I mean, you look like you're in that hair category yourself there. So I'm glad that you didn't walk around with the booger hair.
Oh, yeah. This is my natural hair color. So it gets green.
There you go. That's the thing. So if you want to know, is she a natural blonde? Push her in a chlorine heavy pool. You might find if she's green, she's blonde. How you find out.
You got it.
Let's talk about not where you live, but where you work. Let's talk a little Boston, because, again, you are in the pressure cooker of Boston morning sports talk radio, which is, you know, that's like a level of hell that very few radio people ever even get to walk into. How are you enjoying it? How's it going? What's it like to be the girl in Boston who is probably respected, feared, and angered. And I know that sports talk radio hosts love it when a pretty girl comes on and starts talking about sports to them. The fans in Boston can be great about that, I'm sure. What is your life like? What are your DMs like? Do you have private security?
Actually, it is a dog-eat-dog world out here. I know that you know radio, but radio in the days of Twitch chat rooms and YouTube Live and Twitter and all of that crap is, like, beyond a cesspool. I actually had to move last year because I had to get a restraining order against a fan. I had to buy a new car. A guy tried to break into my house. The FedEx driver pulled my phone number out of the FedEx database. Like, it is crazy out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. But I think when you think about Boston, you obviously, one of the first terms you think of is masshole. And that's what I will say. The women who consume the product out here are incredible. Love them to death. Half the guys are awesome. And then the other half, if I saw them in an alley, I'd probably punch them in the throat on sight.
Yeah. Yeah. Boston is a very intense place when it comes to sports and sports anxiety and sports panic and never being happy no matter what. I mean, there is a commitment to misery out there that really does sort of define the town in some ways.
They're just not used to being bad. So the fact that their teams outside of the Celtics right now and the Red Sox making this postseason push that nobody expected, people are just angry, cold, and pissed off most of the year.
So that brings me to the following questions. Which gives the Boston sports fan, like the Sully, which gives the Sully more schadenfreude? Tom Brady's Raiders being a flop? Tom Brady's broadcasting career being a flop? Or Bill Belichick in Chapel Hill being a flop?
Bill Belichick dating a 24-year-old. D. Final answer.
Well, are they happy for him? Like, are they, you know, how does that play?
Oh my God, no. People here are, because that's been the conversation here ever since this whole thing started, right? Was it Brady or Belichick? That's the first thing that people talked about. That's the last thing people talk about. That's the thing people are still talking about until this whole thing started at UNC and we saw Bill really start to fail, right? Because so many people here, until we saw that he truly was washed and that he was truly going to fail somewhere else, that conversation was still happening and we were still beating it to death week in and week out. And then we saw him start dating this 24-year-old, which, by the way, little piece of gossip, was far before she was 24 years old, mind you. Oh, yes. Correct. Oh, yes. Far before she was 24 years old. And this whole, you know, media scandal. And now it's, well, it was always Brady. We don't really care about the Raiders. Kraft should have given him a stake in this franchise, blah, blah, blah. People loved the statue, but it's Bill sucks. It was always Brady. And what the hell is he doing? Because Jordan's parents own a sex shop in P-Town and her dad's a fisherman in Maine and all. People here hate the Belichick Jordan thing. It's all people talk about all the time. Anytime there's a headline, I don't know if you saw today, but US Weekly came out with a cover that said that they were deeply misunderstood. Rebrand of the freaking century. Deeply misunderstood just means transaction pending, in my opinion.
Yeah, deeply misunderstood. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of misunderstanding. I think it's a lot of finally leaning in and seeing what's going on here that people are allergic to. This isn't misunderstanding. It is a clear understanding of this incredibly odd power dynamic where the man with 7 Super Bowl rings takes his marching orders from a 24-year-old who seems to have just kind of materialized out of thin air. I mean, there's a part of me that says, hey, honey, you want to punch the clock like that? Hopefully you get the square footage you want at the end of that transaction. But this is a transaction.
5 investment properties, and you're telling me that this isn't a transactional relationship? Read the writing. Are we serious? Everybody has a price. I don't know what your price would be for, you know, fame, 5 investment properties, NIL, whatever, but dang girl, she got it right.
If that's what makes you happy, you know, I mean, who am I to judge, I guess.
What would you say to your kids?
And there's a part of me that looks at the Bill Belichick thing and goes, it might be creepy for her. He's having the time of his life. She's very attractive.
She's crazy. You know, what's the hot crazy scale? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly where it is.
But what do you say to your kids?
Right. She's in the Tiffany bracket, right? She's in the, oh man. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, what would you say to your kid that's like clearly knows what's going on? Like, Dad, I know that you're with an escort who's 24 right. years old and you're ruining your legacy and our lives over this. Like, how do you?
Well, Belichick's kids are older than her, right?
Oh, yeah. They're like in their 40s.
How's Ramondre Stevenson's week going in Boston?
I think he has certainly had better weeks for sure. Yeah, I listened to, I think Vrabel, man. What a guy. He's had a week. I listened to his press conference earlier. I love how just angry he gets and how openly frustrated he is. He has been, talk about jerking around with the media. He shoves the media in a locker here, man.
You know, I think you need to do that. Like, by the way, you can just like blow a little pixie dust on Bay Area sports media and they'll go running away and scurrying. In Boston, it's not like that. Boston's got some card-carrying dickheads in their media, present company included, if you don't mind me saying complimentary. You don't hold anything back, and that's what makes you great at what you do.
Never have.
That's what makes you great at what you do. That's why you are valuable to the company that employs you, because a whole bunch of people get up to that moment where they're about to say something interesting and they don't. You do. That's why you're good at what you do. But yeah, in Boston, you have to bully the bully, and I'm not surprised to see that's how Vrabel is handling it. There's an element to where you could say that's what Bill Belichick was almost best at during this entire run in New England. The way that he handled the New England media was almost as impressive as the way he handled the AFC East.
And then you see that one clip of him when I don't remember who it was. It was well before my time. But you see that one clip of him where around Christmas time, someone goes, Bill, what's your favorite Christmas song? And you just see him soften and he goes, oh, I just love all of them. They bring such a smile to my face. And it like humanizes him in a way. You know what I mean? He's like been this big bad wolf for years, decades, whatever you want to call it. And all of a sudden you're learning that like Bill Belichick has like Hallmark Christmas movies on 24/7 at home. Like it just humanized him in a press conference in a way we'd never seen. I still love that video. And then his dog in the war room during the draft, it's like, well, he's Bill Belichick, but he likes Christmas music and has a dog. So
right. Anyone who likes a dog automatically, you know, there's got to be a heart in there somewhere. When you said 24/7, I was thinking, is that her age now or the age where he met her? Oh, sorry. Ooh. All right. Rafael Devers. How's that going, Boston? Are they happy that the Giants kind of fell flat on their face right after they made that big trade?
I hated it at first. I'm still a Giants fan to this day. I grew up a Braves fan, fell in love with baseball out there all over again, but still a Giants fan to this day. That will not change. So as a reporter on the Boston side, I thought that it was insane at the time just because I didn't think that they got enough back for him. As a Giants fan, I was like, yeah, let's go. But clearly it worked out for Boston. I don't know if it was the fact that he really is this locker room cancer, but that team really turned around. They've got an opportunity to play in October right now, a couple more games to go. I love Rafael Devers. He was always very kind to me. Never anything negative to say about him, but the word around town truly is just that he was that locker room cancer. And I think that the biggest takeaway for me was that it was almost like Alex Cora, the manager for the Red Sox, like babied him in a way for a while. It was like, you can't touch my prized possession. You don't touch him. Don't be mean to him. Don't bully him.
Overprotected.
Yeah, it was like, this is my golden idol. Don't touch it. Don't even look at it type of thing. But I think that it worked out, you know, really good for the Giants for a hot minute. He was out there kind of kicking butt and then he fell off. Y'all fell off. We fell off, however you want to put it. And then the Red Sox really just, Garrett Crochet went on a bender and maybe we're getting October baseball out here. Who's to say?
So I'm going to ask everyone to hit like and subscribe. Kendra, thank you so much for coming aboard here. And I'm going to have you on every single time I see the Jacksonville Jaguars on the schedule. It's a chance for me to reach out and have you on. But there's one more thing that we got to get into, because as I am now over here in the world of, you know, YouTube and content creation, as I'm approaching now, you know, getting closer to 50,000 subscribers here on the channel, I'm getting more and more brands reaching out to me. My number one rule for any advertising deal that I would ever, because look, as a radio guy, the sales department brought me I didn't seek advertising. The sales department would tell me record this commercial,
read this, and then send the audio. Yeah,
exactly. That's how I would handle it. Now I'm doing it on, and I get to pick, you know, who I want to be in business with, or, you know, and to me, the number one rule of anything I want to advertise is, would you use it? Do Correct. You use it? I would never be dishonest to tout a product I wouldn't be interested in using. That's a level of like advertising that I think anyone, but there's a weird like brand ambassador thing that is going out there. And obviously, even though we do the same thing for a living, I'm guessing my emails and my inbox looks a little different than yours, Kendra. You have this morning tweeted, "Don't let brands exploit you." What happened?
So I got an email from a huge Italian East Coast chain, massive, massive chain, basically okay. saying, "Hey, we want you to sign a waiver to eat 2 pieces of Reaper pepper pizza on a stage. We need you to promote it, get your audience to come out. We need you to do film all the preparation, film before, during, and after, yada, yada, yada. We want your audience. We're going to have other people up there too. If you can do it, you get 1 pizza a month for 3 months. You'll need to sign a waiver to participate. And basically, we're going to embarrass you eating hot food in front of everybody." And I emailed them back and I said, "Hey, this sounds super creative. Happy to send over my collaboration rights. We don't have budget for this. Unfortunately, we're hoping to get challengers on a volunteer basis for a chance to win free pizza and bring the foodie community together. You're telling me I'm going to go out there and eat 2 pieces of Reaper pepper pizza, sign a waiver that I can't sue you. You want me to document the whole thing on social media. You want my audience to come out, and you're going to give me a pizza a month for 3 months? It's going to take, it would cost me that much to get an Uber there."
Right. And by the way, like, sophomore year of college, broke as a joke, maybe. You're a pro now. You're not doing this charity work. And you said it's a large East Coast brand, but massive. They have no money for their huge massive. Advertising campaign.
You have the budget for it. And I said, "Unfortunately, I'm not taking on any volunteer work at this time unless it's for charity."
Good for you.
Are we joking? I know you have the budget. There are 6 of your locations within a 10-mile radius of my house, and you don't have the budget to pay somebody to stand on a stage downtown and burn their organs for you? Get a grip.
Forget that. By the way, have you ever tried like a ghost pepper or a Reaper? Have you ever tried it at all?
Jacksonville, Florida. My dad used to create like the redneck fire out the asshole hot sauce and put it in the fridge. Are you joking? I'm from Jack. My dad was so serious about making this one hot sauce that he grew his own peppers in the yard.
Okay.
He wouldn't use anything else. And on top of that, when the squirrels would get in the feeder, he would add his ground up peppers to the bird feeder so that the squirrels wouldn't get on there anymore, because birds can't taste hot stuff, but the squirrels, oh my God, it was like watching a bat out of hell when the squirrels would eat that pepper stuff in the yard. Holy crap. Talk about the most Jacksonville thing you've ever seen in your
that
life.
That is about as Jacksonville as it gets right there.
Reaper pepper.
What's your dad's name?
We are no contact. He sucks, but his name is Ken. Ken and Deidre had Kendra.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well,
and now they hate each other. It's beautiful.
Okay. Well, hopefully you get some of that, you know, ghost pepper.
My brother has the recipe. I told him when my dad dies, that's the one thing I want.
The hot sauce recipe. Yep. Well, Kendra, in the meantime, it was awesome catching up with you. Stay away from companies that don't want to pay you to work. Make sure you get paid because you're great at what you do. And thank you very much for coming on and doing it for free.
You're the best. I'm going to send you so many pictures of my adventures this weekend. And I hope your kids have lots of chicken nuggets this week.
Please do. It's nugget week here with Jillian out of town on assignment, shall we say. On assignment, like she's covering the Masters this week. Thank you very much, Kendra, for joining us. And have a safe trip out here. Enjoy your time at Levi's. Will you be wearing the Jaguars onesie?
Okay, I think it's going to be too hot, right?
It has been hot as fuck out here.
I was going to say, I wish I knew I could use the F word this whole time. I was really holding back. Yeah, I would love to wear the Jacksonville Jaguars furry outfit, but I think it's going to be too hot.
Probably. Thank you, Kendra. Great to see you. There she is, giving you all the insider information you need about the Jaguars, about the Boston sports scene, about the red hot chili pepper scene down in Jacksonville. Just an awesome, awesome person. I mean, everybody got along with Kendra instantly when she came into the radio station. Let me tell you, it ain't easy to be a girl in a radio station. It ain't easy to be a pretty girl in a radio station, because all of a sudden you're getting all sorts of attention that you might not have wanted. She just, one of the coolest customers there was. And again, I was doing an interview, and as I'm doing an interview in person with someone, because the show was on remote that day. The show was actually outside. This was outside of a Sharks Stanley Cup playoff game. And I'm doing an interview, and all of a sudden I start choking on something. I'm coughing, I'm choking. This woman hands me her own water, got me through the segment, and it was the most delicious water. I have spa water, freaking cucumber. Put a little cut up cucumber in your water, and you'll feel like the fanciest, prettiest girl in the room with every sip. It was delicious. I looked at her. I'm like, what in God's name is this? She goes, that's spa water, you freaking animal. She brought me, my wife and I have it to this day. Jillian and I use Kendra's water bottle that has like a plastic tube in the water bottle that you can put cucumbers or strawberries or whatever you want to create that accent to the water. We still use it to today. Thanks to Kendra, Aunt Kendra. So thanks to her for coming on. Fellas, I could see that you also realized incredibly easy on the eye. Great guest to have, not just on the radio, but when there's a video there too. She is awesome. Just a cool chick, man. And she knows football, and she knows the Jaguars. And considering nobody would ever watch the Jacksonville Jaguars unless you had to, that's why we had Kendra in. So thanks so much to her for coming on by. Thanks to all of you for being here today. What do we got? We got a Beats 107 has become a member of the Initiated. What a wonderful way to support the channel. Thank you so much, Beats 107. Really, really appreciate it. And welcome. Welcome to everyone. We got a couple hundred people in the room right now, and it's great having you here. And I got to be honest about this Nick Bosa thing. So, look, let's see what the 49ers do. Are they going to make a trade? Can they cobble together a solution in home? We'll see. I'm not writing this team off, but I'm just going to stay consistent with things that I believe apply to all teams. Not just the teams I cover, not just the teams we're talking about, but this is like a universal truth that I just think applies to sports, period. It's really hard to win a championship without your best player. Now, I know that there's never any one best player on a football team. That is the ultimate team sport, which lends itself to next man upping maybe more than other sports do. And we've seen, you know, some remarkable performances over the course of our lives, you know, taking up a lot of slack for the big injury that was supposed to derail the entire season, and then it didn't, you know. But the same way I was sure that the Lions just weren't going to be winning a Super Bowl without Adrian Hutchinson, I feel the same way about Nick Bosa. I don't mean to be negative here, but I really think that you need to, tamp down expectations just a little. Now, look, they go out and they make a big trade for Trey Hendrickson. Okay, game back on. But the more I think about it, it is now officially less likely that the 49ers get to Xanadu. Now, Xanadu for the 49ers is you've won the Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium. I just don't know if that's realistically in the cards anymore. Maybe it is. Maybe it wasn't even there to begin with. Maybe I'm just overshooting the moon to begin with. But how are they supposed to get there now without Nick Bosa? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to be down. There's a ton of football that is still coming up this year, and a lot can happen. It is as wide open an NFC as we've seen in years. I mean, really, it is. It's a wide open NFC. And for a team that I'm now officially, you know, worried about and kind of starting to doubt a little bit, they could be 4-0 when week four ends. And what they've overcome just to get to 4-0, if they can get to 4-0, is impressive. But having to overcome the absence of your pocket collapsing, game affecting, pressure causing defensive end. I do not know how they're going to get over it. Jose trying to be positive, saying, hey, Sarah, well, I think you mean Sala. Sala will figure it out. Don't worry so much, Bruce. This is just me sharing my internal monologue with you. Like, this isn't an official segment as much as like, okay, peel back the curtain here and just tell you how what team in football can afford to lose its best player and you just assume, oh yeah, they're about to be as good as I thought that they might be no matter what. I don't know. It's bad. There's no way to sugarcoat this. There's no way to sugarcoat how bad the Bosa injury is when it comes to reaching the ultimate goal. I think whatever your, think of an entire NFL season as, you know, a group of train stations. If the ultimate station to reach is Super Bowl station, I don't know if the 49ers can pull into Super Bowl station. I still think that they can pull into the playoff station. I still think that they could maybe win a playoff game. But going to and winning the Super Bowl without Nick Bosa, it's hard to create that mental picture in my own mind. Because it's just a steadfast rule that I would apply to anybody. How are you going to be your best when you don't have your best? It's going to be tough. Hey, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Show me what you got without this guy. Beat Jacksonville. There are an awful lot of national media members saying Jacksonville's going to come in here and find a win. And we will see what sort of malaise has been created, if any, due to this Nick Bosa injury. Like, they can brave face this all they want and talk about how, yeah, we all got jobs to do, next man up, blah, 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 blah. No, not this guy. This guy's different. There are very few irreplaceable football players on any football team. This is kind of one of them. This is kind of one of them. It's bad. Speaking of it's bad, the San Francisco Giants math, it ain't mathin' no more. Last night, the Giants were eliminated from any postseason consideration with a loss against the Cardinals in a game that they were winning handedly until the bullpen coughed it up and Logan Webb is nothing to show for another good night of pitching. And Logan Webb, you know, I mean, this guy is going to lead the National League in innings and strikeouts, basically, and have no playoff appearance to show for that. Logan did call it one of the most disappointing seasons of his career based on what he thought might happen. And look, what this team thought might happen was they were going to the playoffs the day that they traded for Rafael Devers. You couldn't talk to a San Francisco Giant and not get like of course they thought that they were going to be something special. When your GM pulls the trigger on a big trade like that, you're like, that gets everybody to sit up. And then they immediately laid down. Devers did get going, took a while, and in that while to get going, they lost enough ground to make this a lost season. That's a shame. It really is. You know, I don't think it's been a bad year for the Giants, but man, it's disappointing. It's pretty disappointing based on what you thought you were going to be, what you then recalculated what you might be, and then after that massive recalculation to realize that it just all falls flat anyways, that stinks. Fuji Simeon says maybe Gundy will be the new IU coach when Kurt leaves. Dude, Cignetti's not going anywhere. They're going to give that guy $30 million to stay in Bloomington. They've already re-upped them. Indiana football is not letting Cignetti walk away. Now, I mean, if he's like, hey, man, they offered me the Alabama job, I'm taking it. What are you going to do? But I think that there's a lot of reasons to stay there. And I think that Cignetti also knows that he can take, you know, 8-4 further in Bloomington than he can in any other situation. So I hope you're wrong, Fuji. Thank you very much for the super, but don't be putting bad Cignetti thoughts into the universe on my channel. No, sir. You know what I think about Indiana football? I think Indiana should get Fernando Mendoza some Heisman consideration. He leads the nation in touchdown passes. Did you know that? Go Hoosiers. And before we get to today in history, there's one other thing I wanted to tell you about, because this is going to be, I love sports. I love stand-up comedy. And we're going to see those two worlds collide for the first time ever next summer at Wrigley Field. John Mulaney is going to play Wrigley Field. He's the first comedian to ever bring a show to Wrigley Field. It's going to happen next summer, sometime in July of 2026. That will be a little bit of a fascinating experiment. Now, he's playing his hometown, so it's a home game for him. That's going to make it a little bit easier. But more than music, the setting of the comedy club is very much a deciding factor whether or not this is going to be a successful comedy show tonight. You have to almost create a psychological battleground to have a comedy show in that only comedy clubs really provide. It's hard doing a stadium. It's going to be really hard to do Wrigley Field. That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes. John Mulaney is the guy who talks an awful lot like this. This is a big part of his delivery, his voice and cadence like this. But that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting, man. That's a big room. Yeah, this is the first thing I thought too, regular Ryan. Comedy in an outdoor stadium doesn't sound like it's really ever going to work. That's going to be tough. And here's the thing. Damon, these guys do arenas on the regular. This is an outdoor stadium. It's not an arena. An arena, it's a different setting. It's a different feeling. You might be right. It's going to probably go nuts for him. It's a home game, right? It's a home game for him. Oh, we found the other Jacksonville Jaguar fan on the planet. His name is Ryan Mitchell. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for being here today. Hit like and subscribe. That was a pretty good John Mulaney, wasn't it? He talks just like this. Every single part of his routine is in this cadence. It works. It works. Find your voice as a comedian. He found his. Robin Williams would have crushed anything. Well, I mean, now you're talking about like who's playing guitar tonight. Oh, it's Jimi Hendrix. I bet you he does well. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's nothing in entertainment that Robin Williams could not do. Like and subscribe, my good friends. Thank you once again for being here. You can go a lot of places in all of your mornings. The fact that you come back here means an awful lot. I hope you plan on joining us at the Dubliner West Portal coming up on October 4th. I know that Chef A is going to be there. Chef A coming in with a little super today, putting it in the ganja jar. Do you think that Melvin is the right manager? I don't. Bob Melvin has taken his steady hand on the wheel act a little bit too far. It's Sleepy Bob. I'm not into Sleepy Bob. I think underachieving now defines Bob Melvin more than the warm and fuzzy overachieving A's memories that we used to have. The guy went to San Diego, kind of fell flat on his face with a very talented team. This team, whether it was very talented or not, is to be debated, but I don't think he played his cards right an awful lot of the time. And I would move on. Looking to shake something up, I would move on. I would. When the Jags get a new stadium, do they get a Super Bowl? Yeah. You build a new stadium, the Super Bowl is going to come to your stadium. I think so. I do think so, Fuge. Are you planning on joining us? At the Dublin or West Portal? Let me get back to where I was there for a second. I almost lost my, I got distracted. Thank you to our good friends at the Dubliner and West Portal, who will be hosting us on Saturday, October 4th at 4:20. It is the Saturday after 49ers and Rams play that Thursday nighter on October 2nd. So I hope you plan on joining us. I hope you can come on out. I hope Chef A is going to be there. I hope an awful lot of people in this chat are going to be there. I hope you plan on making it. If you're in the Bay Area, come through. It's going to be a really, really good time. My man Ike has shown up at a Pluse Mania. I don't know if he can make it to this one, but Ike Sandwich hopefully is going to show up somewhere on your menu and list of things to do soon enough. Absolutely delicious sandwiches from my man. And I want you to check out Ike's Catering. If you're ordering for a party, your office, you'll be happy that you did. Something for everyone is waiting for you at Ike's. And again, one more time, we want to say thank you so much to Sleeper for sponsoring our football season this year here on the Pluse. Sleeper, America's fastest growing fantasy site. When you open up the user interface, you're going to see why. It's a fun website to use. It's a fun app to use. And you can make some serious cash by applying what you think you know about sports to these parlays, to the in-game betting. There is an awful lot of fun waiting for you over on Sleeper. Obviously, make good choices, kids. And a good choice would be clicking on the description on the link in this video and using the promo code Damon when you sign up for a $100 deposit match on your first deposit up to $100. So join the fun over on Sleeper. We do this, we do this, we do that, and now we welcome everyone to Today in History. By the way, pointing out the incredibly obvious here, Christopher says, you know, Kendra, much easier on the eyes than Larry, that's for sure. Larry would be the first to tell you that. Smiley Dan says, by the way, 10-4 at the Dubliner, safety will be a top priority. I mean, infants held closely to their mother's bosom and us will be the safest group of people in America on October 4th. Smiley Dan, we are very, very happy that you are putting that on your calendar. By the way, when I looked at the calendar today to see whose birthdays it was, it sucked. Today might be the single worst celebrity birthday day I've ever seen. We don't normally acknowledge, like, on this day this person was born, but they're died. I got to do that twice today. Here's my big celebrity birthday today. Happy birthday, Brad Bird. You know who Brad Bird is? He was the director of The Incredibles and a big muckety muck over at Pixar. Not very sexy, right? He's 68 years old today. Happy birthday, Brad. Didn't mean to dump on your lack of actual celebrity. Today would have been Jim Henson's birthday. Jim Henson meant so much to my childhood. When he passed away in 1990, I cried a little. I did. There's only three total strangers. Well, that's the thing. Jerry Garcia wasn't a total stranger, was he? I cried when Jerry died. I cried when Mr. Rogers died. And I cried when Jim Henson died. It affected me. I mean, not like weeping uncontrollably, but, you know, just that brought a tear to my eye. Those are the only three, like, didn't really know them people in my life whose deaths ever made me emotional. Today also would have been Phil Hartman's birthday. I mean, one of the greatest Saturday Night Live cast members of all time, and if versatility determined who's the best around here, he might have been the greatest Saturday Night Live cast member ever. Seriously. Phil Hartman was the man on Saturday Night Live, and of course was part of the Groundlings and the early inception of Pee-wee's Playhouse, and he was Captain Carl, for goodness sakes. So again, Phil Hartman would have had a birthday today. Jim Henson would have had a birthday today. Happy birthday, Brad Bird. Today in 1906, Devil's Tower in Northeast Wyoming was named the very first national monument in the United States. Devil's Tower is where the climax of Close Encounters of the Third Kind happens, in case you're wondering. What is Devil's Tower? Devil's Tower looks like a huge Roman colonnade, almost, the way that it's shaped there. I don't know how it happened. Damn nature, you scary. That's the first national monument, Devil's Tower, 1906. Today in 1934, Babe Ruth played his final game at Yankee Stadium. It wasn't his final game as a big leaguer. He would putter around for a little bit. But Babe Ruth played his last baseball game for the New York Yankees at Yankee Stadium today in 1934. Today in 1948, in Japan, they started a little company called Honda. Today, Honda. Somewhat successful of a company. Nice job, Honda. Today in 1954, and how ironic is it that last night it was sort of a rebirth for The Tonight Show. The Tonight Show premiered, not today, but tonight, in 1954. It was hosted by Steve Allen. And last night, you had Jimmy Kimmel returning as the host of The Tonight Show after getting targeted for cancellation there, but didn't happen. Feels like a little win, right? I guess. Today in 1957. I mean, here's the thing. In 1934, Babe Ruth plays his last baseball game for the New York Yankees. In 1957, today, the Brooklyn Dodgers played their last game ever at Ebbets Field, meaning they never played in New York again until the Dodgers were visiting either the Mets or the Yankees from the West Coast. But today in 1957, if you see Marty Lurie anywhere around today, give Marty a hug. This one hurt him when the Dodgers left Ebbets Field today in 1957. By the way, also today in 1957, and you can ask Jerry Jones about this because apparently he was there, says he wasn't protesting. He was just curious. Today in 1957, racial desegregation took center stage. Federal troops dispatched to Little Rock, Arkansas, as they were trying to bring some black kids into a school that had been all white. Good God. I mean, what was wrong with people? What remains wrong with people? Today in 1964, the Munsters. Today in 1964, the Munsters premiered on CBS. The next time you would see the man who played Herman Munster would be as the judge in My Cousin Vinny. What do you mean, two Utes? Same actor. I loved the Munsters. I loved Grandpa Munster. I loved Eddie Munster. I loved the what was it, Vivian? What was it? It was the Mrs. Munster. I loved the Munsters. When I was a little kid, that was a black and white TV show I would watch all the time. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Today in 1968, 60 Minutes debuted on CBS. Their journalistic integrity is now something to call into question. How about this? Today in 1991, imagine walking around a record store today in 1991. You're at Tower Records, you're at freaking, what were the other, record stores in the mall, you're at Virgin, you're wherever you are, right? Sam Goody, that was a record store back in the day. Maybe you were on Upper Haight Street, you're at Amoeba, and you walk into the record store, and you got two choices of two albums that were both released today in 1991. Your choices were this new band named Nirvana, who's got a debut album called Nevermind, or this band from LA called the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and the name of the album is Blood Sugar Sex Magic, magic spelt with a K. I hope you did what I did. You bought both. You got both of those. But man, talk about two seminal albums of your lifetime coming out on the same day. Blood Sugar Sex Magic by the Peppers, and Nirvana's Nevermind. I'm going to tell you right now, every bit of give it away now still works. Every bit of Give It Away Now still works. My Jack loves Give It Away. It's a shower song. I see, I put Jack in the shower and literally I wash his hair, soap him up, put him under the shower so he gets all washed off, and then I put on a song and I leave him. And he dances in the shower. He's like all naked and dancing, and it's 50% of the time, 50% of the time it is Give It Away Now by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He loves Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson, and I don't know how this happened. He loves Dar Commissar by After the Fire. Don't tell me I'm not doing a good job. Jack will come in and be, Dar Commissar, uh-oh. Dar Commissar's in town, uh-oh. I'm like, how do you even know this song, kid? He's six. I'm doing a great job. Anyway, Blood Sugar Sex Magik. I haven't told Jack the name of the, he doesn't know what, he knows what sugar is. He knows what blood is. He doesn't know what sex is. He thinks he knows what magic is. It's too much, but he loves Give It Away. Loves it. I come in and see he's dancing naked, singing into the back of a hairbrush. Gotta give it to your mama, to the papa. And I'll come in and be like, papa. I never even thought I'd have kids. They're fun. Anthony Lick Scorpion said, hey, Damon, great show. And I want one. You want a Kendra? We're not offering any Kendras to be rented out or leased at this time. But maybe if you're walking around, look at it this way. Let's say you're walking around Levi's Stadium. If you spot her, you'll recognize her quickly. Oh, we're not getting into that, Hand Banana. Don't turn around. Uh-oh. Exactly, Regular Ryan. Dark Karmasar's in town. By the way, Damon, it's time for some Devo. I watched the Netflix documentary on Devo. In the history of music, there has never been a band that had less fun getting famous than Devo. They didn't seem to enjoy any of it. Devo was not happy. Really, it's a weird documentary. Whole bunch of dorks who took themselves way too seriously with this de-evolution movement. We Are Devo. Just really weird group of dorks. They had a couple of good songs, though. There's no denying Devo's spot in music. Weird band. Weird dudes. Weird documentary. Last thing I need to tell you, and I've never watched a single episode, but obviously other people have because this show was huge. In 2007, The Big Bang Theory premiered on CBS. I don't know anything about The Big Bang Theory. Never watched a single millisecond of it. The only thing wasn't, isn't there like a broken elevator? That's the only thing I know about Big Bang Theory. There's a broken elevator. Okay. Hand Banana calling out Safety Dance. Yes, we will have safety. We will be, Safety Dance. Jack loves Safety Dance. He does that. You can dance if you wanna. Kid likes that. But Jack does like Safety Dance. He's heard that. That's awesome, Damon. I still don't know if I'll have kids, but it would be cool to have a kid, a day. Here's the thing. They're programmable. Like, you can put into your kid, like, your taste in music and movies, and it's great when you see it actually connect, and they're not just doing it because they're trying to be accepted. They're doing it because they really like it. They're doing it because they really like it. You know, it's one thing to be like, hey, kids, listen to this song. I think you're going to like it. It's another thing to just have the song on in the car. And then in your rearview mirror, you see your two sons in the back going like this. I'm driving around the other day and Ozzy, my four-year-old, starts singing Fire on the Mountain. I'm like, I'm the greatest dad ever. Greatest dad ever. My kid knows Fire fire on the mountain. He almost even knew the long distance runner. What you standing there for? Like he knew something. It was going to be about a runner. There you go. That's it. That's the show today. Thank you very, very much for hanging out. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much to Kendra for coming on by, talking a little Jaguars and some Boston sports, too. I know that that's a weird mix, but that is what we give you here, a very weird mix. And the fact you keep on showing up for it means you're a little weird, too. So thank you. Hopefully you're going to hang out with weird people like us on Saturday, October 4th at the Dubliner West Portal starting at 4:20. In the meantime, get a sandwich from Ike's. Have some fun over on Sleeper. Hit like and subscribe, and thank you so much for watching. Please do remember that sports don't build character, they reveal it. And like that, he's gone.